Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Mace, how are you, my friend? That was a ringing endorsement of you.
I'm still sleep deprived.
Why?
I'm still getting out of the football season sleep deficit. I'm actually in a really bad pattern right now.
You're in a fog.
Yeah, I can't function without like a 90 minute nap at midday. I gotta get out of that.
Quick. Yeah, I know you need to stop taking it between 4 and 5:30.
Hey now.
So how is this throwing you off?
Because it's something where I'll get done with stuff in the morning. And basically, okay, I have to go to sleep because I'm right now working at about 20% speed here. And then I get into such a deep nap. I literally have a deeper sleep when I take a nap than I do overnight. That's not good. That's a problem. Because then when you wake up, it takes you like another 25 minutes to get going. You're just kind of, you know, you're kind of stumbling around. You're like,
You're not a power nap guy?
I have been a power nap guy in the past, but right now I'm not in a pattern of power naps, and that's something that I've got to change here. But it starts by getting a longer amount of sleep overnight instead of.
What time do you go to bed at night?
So. Well, usually I end up working into the evening, and then I put my puppies out to go to the bathroom outside at about.
They don't go to the bathroom; they go outside.
Yeah,
unless there's a bathroom outside, I'm not aware of.
No, it's their bathroom. The backyard is the puppy bathroom.
So you just call it the lawn. You take them out to the lawn.
That's
their.
Right now, the lawn area is dead. In our house, it is the puppy bathroom right now. That is the reason for the existence of the backyard.
What time do you go to bed every night, son?
So usually they get done, they come back in. I fall asleep around 2:30 and I wake
2:30?
And I wake up at 8:15.
2:30? What are you doing? Watching Happy Days reruns on Nick? Are you watching porn? What the hell are you doing?
Watching, I'm getting ready for the Senior Bowl in a week and a half. I'm watching footage of players. Taking notes.
Studying film.
You could say that.
See who has, who's the best in pass pro. Who's got fluid hips.
Quick twitch. Don't forget about that.
Quick twitch. Yeah, that's the new one. Quick twitch.
Yes.
Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
Fair to say the Broncos have not been one of those franchises that go deep into analytics. Is that fair to say?
Fair to say. They've been regarded league-wide as one of the less analytic-friendly organizations in the NFL. Even though they've had analytics people, it's that they haven't had a great deal of influence.
Okay, with that, the new GM, George Payton, oversaw the Vikings analytics department. He was given the task because of his aptitude with what his former boss, Rick Spielman, who actually met the media today, calls out-of-the-box thinking. Vikings have had more success in drafting over the last 10 years than the Broncos, and that really hasn't been difficult to do, with the exception of the last couple of years or maybe 3 years. They've had more starters in the opening three rounds. And the funny thing is, when you look at John Elway's draft outside of the last 3 years, I used to joke all the time. If you are looking to not necessarily trade up in the draft or make a trade, unload all your first and second round picks. Well, before you and I did a show together, I used to say that about Elway. You know what? You want to trade for a player? So what if you give up your first round picks? They don't work anyway. Second round picks, really not that effective. Yes, you'll have a second round pick in Derek Wolfe. I get that. You had a first round pick in Von Miller. Sylvester Williams really didn't work out. These are guys off the top of my head. I don't have anything in front of me. Shane Ray, not a very good first round pick. Bradley Roby, he didn't get a fifth year. So the Vikings have been better at it simply for the fact that George Patton has been part of this process. So more analytics, does that mean more Pro Bowlers, more All Pros, better picks, first, second, third round?
Well, I think, I thought they picked up the fifth-year option on Bradley Roby. I thought he was still here in 2018.
You might be right.
Yeah, because he was here and Aqib Talib was gone.
Right.
So.
Okay, but, you're right. I was wrong about that. But generally speaking, the first-round picks stink.
That being said, not as
outside the last 3 years.
Not as successful a player as that you as I think the Broncos would have hoped.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get a long-term contract beyond that. So.
First, second, yeah. Third rounds. From I don't know, I'm just picking years out of the hat. Between 2013 and 2016, they weren't very good.
They weren't. And they've gotten better. Of course, they're also picking higher in the draft, so you'd expect that the first rounders would get better. I think one of the things that is interesting, taking a look kind of at where the Vikings stand in terms of how productive they've been. They've been draft wise is they have it hasn't been as good. They hit kind of a low in 2018, 2019, but it looks like they hit a home run with their draft in 2020. But they went through a period where basically every guy they took on day one or day two, and even into early part of day three, every one of those guys was becoming somebody who became a multi-year starter for them.
Real quick, let's explain what analytics are. And this mm-hmm. is a very rudimentary way to look at it.
Right.
Don't trust your gut anymore. Just trust the numbers.
Basically, what analytics say is that your eyes may deceive you.
Correct.
Don't
trust your gut. Trust the numbers.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi said in the first Star Wars movie, your eyes deceive you. Don't trust them. Because sometimes that you know,
or as a guy yeah. who's about to be out of office says, don't trust your eyes and your ears on what you see and you hear.
I thought that was from 1984. The government told you not to trust the evidence of your eyes and your in ears. It was their first and most essential command.
Well, that was that was reincarnated about a year or so ago.
Yes. So, yeah. What I think is the most prudent way is. I mean, is to have analytics be a huge part of it, but not everything. Like Cleveland, for example, they went kind of all in on analytics for a couple of years. Now, where they are, they're in a very good spot, but a lot of getting into that good spot is what happened kind of post analytics. Because
no, I'll disagree on that. They were great at drafting the 2 years John Dorsey was there,
but that was post analytics. The big analytic push came before John Dorsey arrived. The thing is, Dorsey was only there for, what, 2 years?
2 years.
Yeah, Cleveland. And
but look
Cleveland
at the guys
been,
they got.
Yeah, Cleveland has been through so many philosophical shifts.
Right.
They went analytics heavy, and then they go winless, and then they bring, and then John Dorsey comes in, and he's more of the, this is what my eyes tell me, this is what the film tells me.
Some guys are really good at it.
Right. Now, the Browns had some picks from the analytics era that worked out. It's been kind of bits and pieces, but it shows you kind of the flaw in going 100% analytics. What you should be looking for is the merger of analytics versus the kind of the old school, what the film tells you, what the character evaluation tells you. And the goal should be to find those guys that are on the Venn diagram between the two that check off the analytic boxes,
right.
But also check off the film and character boxes. And then that should be the pool of players from which you're going to draft in a given
Can
year.
I tell you why, and this is just a hunch, can I tell you why I think the Broncos were not an analytics team under John Elway?
Please do.
Because his dad, who was a scout, didn't use analytics. Mm-hmm. And John learned from his dad. Period. End of story.
We're products of what we know. We're products of our experiences,
exactly.
Right?
Right.
And this is one of those instances where you can say being kind of old school maybe held back the Broncos a little bit. I mean, and we've seen it's
so funny. How do you explain the last 3 years?
Yeah.
I might be able to help explain.
Well, I can explain the first year.
What? Well, yeah, Gary Kubiak.
Gary Kubiak involved with it. The other thing that happened was I hesitate to say they changed their matrix, but they began to incorporate character and leadership
No question.
As higher priorities.
No question.
In the draft process. The Broncos of today never would have drafted Carlos Henderson.
Oh, no.
Not in a million years.
Well, they learned their lesson after 2017, although Bowles has turned out to be obviously very good. It took them a while to get there, but turned out to be very good. What the Broncos did was they drafted athletes and guys with high upside, and everything else really wasn't that important. Mm-hmm. Character, eh. Work ethic, eh. This guy has great speed. He's got great twitch.
Now, speed in terms of 40 time is all can be an analytic component, though, too.
No, I understand that. Isaiah McKenzie has a lot of speed.
Right.
What you don't have analytically is catching the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
When the punt comes to you.
The entire argument for Isaiah McKenzie, for example, was analytic-based in terms of speed and quickness numbers. But at the same time, if you were doing your homework, you also focus on the drop rate. And it's like, to me, if you're going to take one set of analytics, you have to take the other set of analytics as well. And that's why, like, KJ Hamler, for example, if you're going by speed, quickness, separation, you know, how, you know, his top speed in the open field, all that's off the charts. But you can't dismiss the drop rate that he had. And one reason why, even though Jerry Jeudy had more noteworthy drops this year, I still think that KJ Hamler is going to be somebody who deals with drops more because that is Hamler's pattern going back to Penn State.
Right.
Whereas Jerry Jeudy did not have anywhere close to the same drop rate at Alabama they did with the Broncos. And I think we're going to see that his rookie year was an aberration.
You know what's funny though? You know, they drafted guys who are leaders and captains. Started that 3 years ago, mm-hmm. 18, 19, 20.
Yeah.
Leaders and captains. You know what leaders and captains can do? They can get the team on the right track when the train goes off the rails. But you know what? Over the last 3 years, you know what numbers I see? 6-10, 7-9, 5-11.
And you can maybe...
That's what I see. Those are my analytics.
And you know what? What you can say is that the fact that those guys kept the train from going completely off the tracks probably meant that you had better records than other teams who just kind of... you know, folded up down the stretch. Now, this Broncos team this past year went 1-5 down the stretch.
Right.
But there was also the mitigating factor of injuries, and that's why they're sitting there with a top 10 pick, and who knows?
I was trying to think of something. You know what other team that never complained about injuries? I'm going to tell you a team that never complained about injuries, ever. The Colorado Avalanche never complained about injuries, did they? They were down to their third-string goalie. They were missing their captain and a whole bunch of guys. You never heard boo out of the Colorado Avalanche, who you could make the case would have won a Stanley Cup had they not been so banged up. But you never heard the Avalanche complain about injuries, but the Broncos, you hear it all the time.
Well, you're also
glad I got that off my chest.
Well, you might also start talking about how there's a different mentality in hockey than there is in other sports.
Which is what?
Hockey is very much a don't complain. Suck it up and do your work. Hockey has, as a culture, is a no excuses culture. Fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. And there you go.
Why is football an excuses culture?
Football is where they'll try to, especially on a management level and a coaching level, they'll try to find reasons and point things out. Hockey, those things don't seem to fly.
Refer to it as? A what culture?
A no excuses culture in hockey.
No, I just think that each franchise in every individual sport is a culture. If you complain about injuries or you don't.
So you don't think it's a sport thing, you think it's a Broncos thing versus an Avalanche thing.
You hear you hear Mike Shanahan or Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch complaining about injuries? No. No.
Maybe we weren't listening closely. The thing is, we're listening. I'd have to go through every press conference.
John Lynch is not a complainer.
Right. But
John
you'd have
Lynch
to go through every press conference
yep.
to see if they cited injuries or not. We know it because we've listened to everything that's been said here. So you'd have to go
I'm
through
make
and
a
say,
phone call in the break.
Did Kyle Shanahan say anything about injuries? Did the Chargers, Tom Telesco, the GM, and Anthony Lynn, did they say anything about injuries?
No. All right, coming up after the break, the Vikings have had a difficult time finding a franchise quarterback, just like the Broncos, over the last 5 years. So, what has happened to the Vikings when their young quarterback didn't work out, I don't know, after the first two seasons. That's happened a couple of times. We could be facing the same thing here. With that, one of the Vikings' main decision makers is now here. How did he handle it back then with Rick Spielman? And how do you think he'll handle it now? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Hey, if you're looking for great deals on beer, wine, and spirits, you need to go to Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock right now. New from Klein Cellars, Farmhouse Red Blend, regularly $13.99, now on sale $9.99. Farmhouse was born out of the desire not only to create a clean, herbicide, and chemical-free wine, but to teach future generations about what it means to farm with nature and not against it. Now, if you like tequila, you can also buy a big bottle, and this is the good stuff, big bottle of Patron Silver Tequila, regularly $94.99, mentioned you heard on the show, $86.99. Great prices, great selection. That's Bubbles Liquor World in Castle Rock. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Tivoli Brewing Company, Colorado's first established brewery in 1859. Get Colorado's original beer in your local liquor store or go to Tivoli in the heart of the Orrery campus.
So the Vikings, like a lot of teams, including the Broncos, unless they have a franchise quarterback, they have a tough time finding the right guy, and they burn and churn through quarterbacks. 2008, they had Tavares Jackson. Didn't work out after his first two seasons. They brought in Gus Frerotte, veteran backup. 2013, they drafted Christian Ponder.
2011, they drafted Ponder.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
After a couple of years, they signed Matt Cassel,
yep, in 13.
As a veteran backup. You know, George Payton was part of that. Draft pick doesn't work out, bring in a rookie. Mm-hmm. Is that something you think that we are going to see with George Payton?
Yeah. The draft pick is struggling or on the edge, bring in a hedge. On the edge, bring in a hedge.
Did you just make that up?
I thought
you did.
Yeah.
Because you almost seem surprised how witty you believe that you are.
I don't believe I'm witty. I'm surprised when I rhyme. When I rhyme stuff like that. But that might be a catchphrase for the offseason. Locks on the edge, bring in a hedge. And I know that may be not what a lot of people want to hear.
Like, that was a good one.
Yeah. Maybe because people
even
want
Jake
the
was like,
Matthew Stafford. You know, they want Matthew Stafford, or they want a first round draft pick. But I think it's fair to say that given where Locke is, the most likely outcome of this offseason is a veteran hedge. Just what kind of hedge are we talking about? Are we talking about Mitchell Trubisky, who played for Vic Fangio in Chicago? Are we talking about Marcus Mariota if the Raiders can't fit him under their salary cap? They're looking at being $13 million over the cap as of today. Or is it somebody in their 30s, like a Tyrod Taylor or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Andy Dalton or Colt McCoy, somebody like that? That's the question that it looms over everything. Of all that George Payton has to figure out, this is job one.
How about Drew Locke's play needs a disclaimer? Why not bring in a future Hall of Famer? What about Matt Stafford? Maybe they go that route.
Is Matthew Stafford a future Hall of Famer?
It rhymes. Move on.
He's a college football Hall of Famer, perhaps.
There you go.
He's a Detroit Lions Hall of Famer, whatever they call it there.
Right.
I don't think he's going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame unless he wins like 3 Super Bowls in the next 4 years.
Maybe they go that direction. Maybe they try and trade for Matt Stafford. And oh, by the way, if I am not mistaken, George Payton has a very good relationship with Chris Spielman, mm-hmm, who happens to be with the Detroit Lions.
And of course, the Lions have a new general manager today. They, you know, they had interviewed George Payton as part of their process But now they're going with Brad Holmes, who had worked for the Los Angeles Rams. And by the way, this makes the Rams to the first team to get compensatory picks as a result of the NFL's push to have more minorities in head coach and GM positions.
Right.
So the Rams had a good day. And also, thinking about that made me think, you know, okay, would the Bears try to hang on to Champ Kelly knowing that they could get compensatory picks if he leaves?
What the Vikings did, I don't think we can read too much into it, because I think this is what any GM would do. The guy you drafted is struggling after 2 years. Mm-hmm. We can't bring in a Jeff Driskel, who is definitely not going to compete. We have to have a guy there who gives us the ability to win games. And that was Elway's mistake with Driskel. By bringing him in, there's no competition for Locke. And then they put Driskel in because Locke couldn't play. And Vic Fangio said, you know what? This is not going to work for me. And I'm going to put in Brett Rypien.
A mistake actually of recent years has been not being backstopped. Like, for example, when they signed Case Keenum, I thought it was a mistake to not draft a quarterback that year. I thought it was a mistake to put all your eggs in Case Keenum's basket, because he'd had one good season, but also one very fortunate season with a slew of dropped interceptions. And it proved to be the outlier for Case Keenum, what he did with the Vikings in 2017. But one reason why that 2017 season with the Vikings is interesting is that if you look at some of these, not hedges, but veterans who've been brought in, you could take Gus Frerotte, for example. And after the Vikings cut Gus Frerotte, a year later, Sage Rosenfels was going to be their quarterback before they signed Brett Favre.
Right.
Now, both Frerotte and Rosenfels had been in Miami when George Payton was down there, so there was familiarity. Fast forward to 2016 when Teddy Bridgewater goes down. They make the big move to trade a first and a fourth round pick for Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford didn't have familiarity with Rick Spielman and George Payton.
Are you getting into the next segment already?
No.
You're doing this again. Yeah, well, this is the second time this week you have bled in to the next segment.
Well, that's why these
things... Let me cut this off and come up with another nifty rhyme. Watching Drew Locke hasn't been much fun. Let's trade for somebody else's young gun. How about they go after Sam Darnold?
It depends what the Jets want to do. How am I doing, Danny?
Doing very well. It's like afternoon drive with Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss over here.
Shel Silverstein? Who's Shel and who's Dr. Seuss?
I haven't been able to decide yet.
What you need is, now, if there was a poet whose last name ended in the sound Ive, you know, you could do afternoon drive with, like, is there a poet named Clive? Afternoon drive with Eric and Clive.
How about this? How about this? Too many times Drew Locke sank. Let's lose a bunch of games next year so we can tank. Is that better?
It's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, you like that kid out of North Carolina.
Yeah. I'd have to, I wish I could spontaneously come up with a rhyme that goes with the phrase suck for Sam, as in Sam Howell.
How about this one?
But if the Broncos start 0-4, yep, like they did in 2019, people around here are going to be saying suck for Sam.
How about this one? We'll end with this.
Or crater for Keaton, as in Keaton Slovis.
Here. I think I've come up with the best one.
Okay.
Okay. Roses are red. Violets are blue. I'm schizophrenic, and so am I.
Oh, I thought you were going to quote my limerick from last Valentine's Day, which doesn't apply anymore.
What's that?
Or not my rhyme.
There roses, once was a man from Nantucket?
No. Roses are red, violets are blue, holding offense number 72.
Well, that doesn't apply anymore.
No, it doesn't. He's outlived that. Good for him. Good for handling it all with good humor as well.
Well,
and self-awareness.
Well, as we are staying with, you know, whether it's poetry or prose, we're going to go, we're going to stay with the arts, and we are going to go to musicals on Broadway. Coming up after the break, from the smash Tony Award-winning hit Les Miserables, Andrew dreamed a dream. He dreamed a dream of times gone by. With that, it really wasn't a dream for Andrew. He said he had a nightmare about a scenario for the Broncos next season. Did I put those two together pretty good?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's pretty good. I appreciate that. That's next. And here I was working on a limerick.
There once was a man from Wheeling who had a peculiar feeling.
If Drew Lock is struggling, will the Broncos linger? Do they stick with Lock or give him the finger?
Ooh. Let me do some haiku.
Yeah. 575.
575?
That's the syllables, right? You have to have 575.
John Elway started off strong.
Okay.
Okay.
You've blown the haiku.
It has to be 575? It
has to be five syllables in the first line, seven in the second line, five in the third line.
Elway started
strong. There you
go. Oh, it has to be five.
In the first line.
Wait. It has to be five, what? Not five words.
Syllables.
Five.
Elway started strong.
There you go. Then something really went wrong now.
Then something really went wrong. And then the last, what's that? Next, what's the next five?
Joe Ellis.
Two more syllables.
Fired Elway. We'll be back.
Joe Ellis fired him. There you go.
In the sunshine of your love.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
You know, many years ago, the late, great Martin Luther King Jr. said, I have a dream. Well, I had a dream, but it was actually a nightmare.
Yeah, you're not comparing yourself to Martin Luther
King. No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Not in reference of Monday being MLK Day.
No.
Because there will not be an Andrew Mason Day.
I'm not saying there will be. Where did you get that impression?
Because you brought up MLK, and MLK Day is on Monday, and then you brought up
people
having a
dream.
People
think of dreams and nightmares, and I was going to open with I had a nightmare in contrast to I have a dream. I had a nightmare last night that the Broncos signed Sean Mannion. Mannion, of course, has been the Vikings' backup. He's a free agent. What made me think about this is that...
Didn't the Broncos consider him before... They brought in Allen?
I think there was a radio personality in this market who spoke often of bringing in Sean Mannion.
Oh, gotcha.
I don't think it was something the Broncos ever actively considered, not with a... And to this day, he has a career touchdown to interception ratio of 0-3, so...
Well, that's better than mine.
But what made me think about this is yesterday, you can find the story on thedmvr.com, I wrote part one of a two-part series going back and looking at all the quarterback moves while George Payton was with the Vikings. They had a habit of signing quarterbacks with whom they had familiarity to fill up the depth chart. Gus Frerotte played for the Vikings in 08. Well, he led the Dolphins to a winning season while Payton was their director of player personnel, working under Nick Saban. Sage Rosenfels, they bring him in 09. He was going to start before Brett Favre came in. He'd played for Miami while both Payton and Rick Spielman were on the job with the Dolphins. So familiarity has mattered. Even Sam Bradford, they trade for him a few years later. Sam Bradford, they had intel on from Pat Shurmur, who was on the Vikings staff at the time and had worked with the Rams and the Eagles where he coached Sam Bradford. So with that being said, regarding the familiarity, maybe you have to note these names. Case Keenum.
Nope, can't bring him back.
I agree. And that would be one where George Payton would probably be advised to talk to John Elway and even talk to some of his new players.
Actually, Keenum would be a fantastic fit because of Pat Shurmur.
But I don't know that he'd be a fit in the locker room for the few guys that were around in 2018.
Why?
Wasn't well regarded.
Well, he wasn't a leader.
Right. He was just there. Remember Devontae Booker talking about how in the hallway.
Who's he?
Devontae Booker running. Well, no, he talked about how in the hallway Keenum wouldn't say hi to other people as they passed by.
Well, you know what? I'm guessing Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs got over that. Didn't they?
It's a little different with the quarterback.
No, no, I'm saying those wide receivers, when he had a great season with the Vikings, found a way to manage. Devontae Booker's no longer with the team. Cortland Sutton was with the team.
Well, there are other little things like that that showed that Keenum wasn't really the someone who could be the guy. Teddy Bridgewater, he's not a free agent. Carolina can't cut him because of the dead money, but there's like, I believe, $20 million of dead money if they cut him. The dead money for them drops if they trade him, and that might be one you have to wait until after the draft on if they get someone else in there. Mitchell Trubisky played for the Bears while Vic Fangio was there.
If the Broncos bring in Mitch Trubisky, they will
as a hedge, not as a starter.
No,
as a hedge.
Even as a hedge, the Broncos will become the laughingstock of the NFL.
Who was the better quarterback last year, Drew Lock or Mitchell Trubisky?
It's not the point.
I know, but Trubisky was better than Drew Lock last year.
I understand, but the difference is this. The difference is this. Mitchell Trubisky will always be seen as a first-round bust unless he does something. So there are great positives being drafted high, but also you can be seen as a bust. The Broncos bring in Mitch Trubisky. They will become the laughingstock of the NFL. If they brought in Colt McCoy, there'd be a lesser chance they'd be the laughingstock of the NFL. Trubisky's probably better than Colt McCoy.
Here's what I think is interesting. If they brought in Sam Darnold, would they be considered the laughingstock of the NFL?
You can make that case.
Because you'd be getting another guy who's right down there near the bottom with Drew Lock in most metrics.
Depends on what you have to give up. Because no one will question that Sam Darnold has talent.
Would you give up a second for Sam Darnold?
I'd consider it.
Even a high second like the Broncos had.
Well, it's the only second that they have.
I mean, that's one where if they're going to ask for a second, you'd probably want Sam Darnold and at least something else, like maybe Sam Darnold and a fourth. Something to balance it out to make it the equivalent of a middle second.
Right.
But I guess it's interesting. Like,
I don't think anybody looks at Trubisky as a guy who has much talent.
I think looking at Trubisky,
he was considered a reach. Darnold was not.
He wasn't a great quarterback. He's probably lower middle tier as far as quarterbacks go. If you're going through the quarterbacks in the league, you'd probably say Mitchell Trubisky is somewhere, around 20 to 23.
If Keenum, Trubisky, and Colt McCoy are brought in as a hedge, in the court of public opinion, George Payton's career will not have started well as Elway would say, in Broncos land.
Now, let me throw the other name in there, Teddy Bridgewater, a name that there's a lot of familiarity for George Payton with.
A lot, yeah, but
as a hedge.
I would rather have the guy who has familiarity with Pat Shurmur, not George Payton. George Payton isn't coaching him.
Pat Shurmur coached Teddy Bridgewater as well.
There you go. Then bring in Bridgewater.
Now, it was most of the work was after the injury.
Right.
But certainly, Pat Shurmur knows Teddy Bridgewater very well.
They had high hopes. I was told they had very high hopes for Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota. High hopes. And then he got injured.
I've had it said point blank to me from someone around that team who covers the team.
They really thought he could be good.
That if Bridgewater isn't hurt, he's still their quarterback.
Yep.
They strongly believe that. Everything else that happened, Sam Darnold, Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, it's all out of the history books. And personally, watching Teddy Bridgewater and seeing how he's become an average quarterback.
Yeah.
Now,
I don't know what injuries have to do with that, though.
Well,
maybe he's just average.
Injuries basically derailed him for 3 years. Two full seasons and then close to another season when he was the backup in New Orleans before he actually got back out there and showed what he could do. He would be intriguing. Of those names, I agree. The only one that I would have any sense of excitement or hope for as a hedge is Teddy Bridgewater. The other guys, I'd rather go with Andy Dalton. I'd rather go with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
Guys who kind of know what they are at this point in their careers.
I agree. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Early on in the football season, you guys talked at length about the impact of home field advantage. We're seeing an interesting trend in the NBA regarding that. We'll talk about that after the break right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Granite Liquidators Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. Go to graniteliquidators.com. Guys, want to talk to you about something that is not easy to talk about. It is embarrassing for every guy who's dealing with it. It is frustrating for sure. I'm talking about erectile dysfunction. The question is, what are you doing about it? My suggestion is this. You go to Revive Performance for Men, as they specialize in ED. I want to bring in my friend Thomas from RPM, Revive Performance for Men. How are you, Thomas?
I'm great, Eric. Despite not having any of my teams in the playoffs, I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing just fine. Listen, I know you like to gamble on sports, so you always have a team every single game, don't you?
I do.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. It's funny. Yeah. I was going to ask you to play golf this weekend, but I figured you wanted to watch games. Was it good not asking you?
You know, I'd say that was a safe bet because I might not have been doing much golfing. I probably would have been glued to my phone streaming one of the games that are going on. So, there, yeah, you unless you wanted to have a boring round. Good call.
Okay. With that, let's talk about how you can help guys fight off erectile dysfunction. Listen, shots, I can't even think about it. Pills, we know they are temporary. What is Gaines Wave Therapy at RPM, and why do you use it?
Great. So you just, you know, took the key word right out of my mouth, temporary. I'm a guy, I want things to work. I don't want it to be something I have to rely on taking a pill, you know, setting a timer. All right, I took my little blue pill. I got a half hour until it kicks in. What are we going to do for a half hour? I want something that's going to work and work when I want it to work. Gainswave treatment does offer that long-term solution. Gainswave therapy is pain-free. We use a medical device to apply the treatment to the patient. There's nothing to it. It takes 7 to 8 minutes. And what it does is it just stimulates blood flow back to the body part that you want to function. So over time, with continuous treatment, and when I say continuous, we're talking 6 treatments. Mm-hmm. Once again, 7 to 8 minutes treatment. After 6 treatments, we're experiencing over a 90% success rate. So I know it sounds too good to be true, but we like to let the treatment speak for itself.
It's FDA approved, right?
Absolutely.
That's all people need to know. It's FDA approved. It has a very high success rate. With 6 treatments, when do you start seeing results?
So most men. Most men. Hypothetical. Most men are seeing results after 3 to 4 treatments. Of course, we have a lot of men that notice maybe a placebo effect where things start to work within the next week. But realistically, we set the bar at about 3 to 4 treatments. That doesn't mean you're down and out until things start working. We encourage men to engage in whatever sexual activity it is that you want to do while you're undergoing treatment. There's no setbacks. There's nothing holding you down, nothing like that. It can just take a few weeks until results really kick in.
Okay, as far as the treatments go, how spaced out do they need to be? Because I'm sure a lot of guys want to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to make it at the convenience of every man, but realistically, 5 to 10 days is what we recommend spacing the treatment out at. If we could space it out once every 7 days, that'd be ideal. But there's some wiggle room, and it will not affect the quality of the treatment if we do have to stretch it out a little bit beyond 7 days.
Why do I have a feeling? Because you're the one who said it, not me. You said, what am I going to do during those 30 minutes waiting for it to kick in? I have a bad feeling about you, Thomas, that you would say to your girlfriend, I'm going to look at my phone and stream a game or watch a game and see if I'm winning. And by that time, she's not in the mood anymore.
No, that's exactly it. Creativity. Men get very creative when they have to wait
right.
for that little blue pill to kick in.
Right.
You might turn an episode of The Office on. You might cook up a appetizer.
Right.
Or you might just accidentally screw up a drink that you're making your partner six right. times until right. that 30 minutes goes by. So once again, the difference here is GamesWave helps men regain that spontaneity. Things work when the mind is right. You're in the setting. You're getting intimate. Whatever it is that you want to do, when the mind is there, the erection appears. So there's no waiting game.
I don't know if there's any scientific proof, but I'm just kind of curious. You use the 30-minute window. I did not. If you happen to hit the over-under on your bet within 15 minutes, can that be, let's just say, something that sets everything in motion for you?
Absolutely. I like how you're putting this in gambling terms.
Right.
It is a gamble.
Because you're a gambler.
Right?
You're a gambler.
Yeah,
I'm speaking your language.
Yeah, you're hoping it kicks in less than 30 minutes, because 30 minutes to a woman when she's ready to go
right.
is like 6 hours, right?
Right?
So she's long gone, or she's sleeping, whatever it is.
Right.
It's not fair to men. There's too much planning that goes with being intimate with your partner. You shouldn't have to plan it. When you have to plan, I get it, you got to plan a date night, but you shouldn't have to plan intimacy. And that's what we're trying to prevent here.
How do people get a hold of you, Thomas?
You can go right to our website, rpm-colorado.com, or feel free to just give us a call. I mean, whatever works for you. I know guys like to do their research and, make sure that we're legit, see that we actually have a website, but you can call us directly and speak to myself or one of the providers in the office, 720-263-9344.
Okay, listen, when the football season is over, we'll play some golf, unless you're going to tell me you got to gamble on basketball and hockey.
Oh, no. You won't find me gambling on basketball. I don't know anything about basketball.
Okay. Just check.
I'll gamble with you
okay.
in golf. There, you got yourself a match there.
No, I know you're better than I am. I know you're better than I am. Hey, have a great day, Thomas.
Thank you so much, Eric. Take care.
My man. Thomas from Revive Performance for Men. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you ready?
Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Lakers are off to a franchise record 7-0 start on the road. Road teams in the NBA so far this season are 88-78, and there has never been a season in NBA history in which road teams finished with a winning record. Thoughts on the lack of home court advantage to this point in the NBA?
It's a similar tale in the NFL as well. The home team form was the worst it's been in generations, I believe, the last 50 years, if I'm not mistaken. So this is all part and parcel of playing in a pandemic, playing without fans, playing without noise, playing without an environment.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk into any of their stores and try out the appliances before you buy them. Can't do that at the big box stores. Plus, they have the most experienced sales staff out there to help you totally redo your kitchen, get something high-end, get something to fit your budget. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton, or you can find their outlet center in Denver. Coming up after the break, did you hear what Jared Bednar said after last night's Avalanche loss? Because honestly, what he said after last night's Avalanche loss is something that Mike Malone has pretty much been saying all season. What did Bednar say? That's next.